Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
207 days ago, our long national nightmare began. And tonight, in about 6.5 hours, that nightmare ends. Football's back! We'll get to Eagles, Cowboys, who Giant fans should root for. We'll make our official NFL predictions coming up at 4 o'clock. So we got a lot of football to get to. The Mets making a major change in their rotation. We'll discuss that later as well. But I got four things about the New York Yankees that I am fired up about. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's hear them.
It's like a quattro de quattro. What? Number one, Brandon Walsh. Oh, I'm sorry, Brian Walsh. Brandon, of course, was a wonderful character on 90210.
Yes.
His cousin, Brian Walsh, is an umpire. And I want to make this very,
not
very
really
clear. They're not cousins?
No, not really.
They're not? Okay. In my fantasy world, they are. Oh, actually, you know what? 90210 was on so long ago. Brian is Brandon's, like, son.
I was going to say, that's like great uncle or something.
I want to make this very, very clear so everybody understands. Brian Walsh, home plate umpire from last night's Yankee game, is really bad at his job, okay? And there are people like that. They're just really, really bad at their job. Insert joke here about any one of your least favorite WFAN hosts. Maybe I'm the guy. He's bad at his job. He became a full-time MLB umpire like a year and a half ago, I think. He doesn't have a lot of experience, and he sucks. And there's records of him not being good, okay? Last night, he had a very negative impact on the game.
Mm-hmm.
It may have even impacted the result. But to go on this man's Facebook page and find a picture of him wearing a Red Sox t-shirt and say, see? It's a conspiracy. Do you think this guy worked his entire life to become a major league umpire to pick a rando September game to screw the New York Yankees?
No, of course he did it.
Thank you!
You know what he did?
What?
He called a ball. It was a ball.
Well, one of them was, but a few of them were bad calls.
Oh, I mean, sure, but the one that got Devin Williams and then ultimately Aaron Boone ejected, it was a ball.
Yeah, but, okay, that's fine, but his accuracy rate last night,
that was this terrible.
Yeah, it's awful.
It was terrible.
There's this thing called umpire cards. You can see it on social media where they rate the home plate umpire. It's called umpscorecards.com. It's a great website.
Mm-hmm.
And it will tell you the missed calls. He favored the Houston Astros for plus 1.4 runs, which is absurd.
Wow.
His call ball accuracy was 93%. That sounds really good. The MLB average is 97%. He sucked last night. And his badness negatively affected the New York Yankees.
Of course.
I won't deny that.
Of course.
But are we really going to stick on this guy's Facebook page and say he's a Red Sox fan and this is a whole conspiracy?
I mean, even if he is a Red Sox fan, what does that mean? Does that
he doesn't like the Yankees in a portion of his life?
Okay, whatever. But does that mean that he's going to compromise a very good job by openly, I don't know, negatively impacting the Yankees' chances of winning a game, thus keeping their lead on the Boston Red Sox? Does he really think that he would do that?
Anyone who thinks
so, that. The reason I can't say that he would, it's because it's so obvious. Like, it'd be like robbing a bank and saying, well, no, that wasn't me, that was that other guy. You know, they got you on camera.
Right.
It doesn't make, like, it literally makes no sense.
Well, and also, you don't work your entire life. I'll use you, Sean, you're a shill. Let's say you worked your entire life to be an NFL general manager. Sounds like a really cool job, right? And you finally get that gig, and it's to replace Howie Roseman. You're the GM of the Philadelphia Eagles. You've worked your entire life. Are you going to purposely screw up the job of your life because of a personal vendetta that you had when you were a child?
Mm-hmm.
No, but...
But what?
If I was having a bad year and I had to choose between two teams that were offering me a trade, I'd probably, in my heart, be a human being and go, oh, you know what? I love those fans over there. Here you go. Come on.
Oh, look.
Come on. I don't think that this is the reason they lost, but I think it's a little egregious just to brush it off and go, so what? He was a Red Sox fan.
No, Sean. See, you misinterpreted me. It is a part of why they lost. Like, I will raise my hand and tell you that watching last night's Yankee game, they were incredibly negatively affected by Brian Walsh's horrible calls. I will raise my hand and admit that. And I don't like doing that. I don't like, you know, screaming into a microphone. It's the ref's fault. It's the umpire's fault. But as an IBO, he negatively affected your chances of winning the game last night. And I get the Yankee fan who wants to call up right now or call up today or call up Big Mac or tweet out, Brian Walsh negatively affected us. You're right. My issue is to then create a fake story in your mind that the reason it happened is because he was a Red Sox fan is the height of fandom lunacy.
Right. Maybe he's just bad at his job,
yes,
as Evan correctly pointed out when he first brought this subject up.
Yes.
Sometimes umpires are bad at their job. There's been a history of this in Major League Baseball. We know this. And sometimes, for whatever reason, they're protected, and they stay on until they want to retire. Maybe it's because they think they're going to sue the league. I don't know. But we know that this exists in Major League Baseball. And sometimes, as a team, as a player, you got to understand it and get past it and really be better because of it. That's what it comes down to.
I hear what you're saying. And again, I don't think it's the sole reason. I think he sucks as an umpire. But, Tiki, you have said, and I think you're right, rookies suck. College football sucks. More on that in a little bit. I think people suck in general a lot of times. And I think that we're giving too much of a benefit of a doubt to a human being in his job saying, like, he could put all biases aside. I'm not even saying he even realized in real time. I'm not even saying that's the firm reason. But you know what? There's probably some guys on that Yankee team or maybe the manager and Aaron Boone where, you know, he's not going to give the benefit of the doubt in his mind. So what? Umpires miss calls all the time.
Seldom right and wrong again, Shoto. Mm. Do not pin this on Brian Walsh. And by the way, I want to brag. I just used one of Brandon Walsh's great phrases during the whole run of 90210. And I did that in a discussion about his grandson, Brian Walsh. So yay me. But stop with the fan fiction. There are reasons why the Yankees lost. Bad umpiring are certainly a part of it. But it's not because of their fandom. That's number one. You ready for number two?
Let's hear it.
Luke Weaver. Like, what is going on here? Why are we ignoring the fact that Luke Weaver, who needs to be good? Like, if I'm making a list on what the Yankees need, if they're going to go on a deep postseason run, which I think they are capable of doing, I said it yesterday, they're the best team in the American League, Luke Weaver can't fail. He can't be mediocre. And he came in with a one-run lead, and he failed. And that, to me, is the ultimate headline. Now, we'll get to the other stuff, which I know Yankee fans are chomping at the bit to rip, but Luke Weaver failed last night. And it's almost like he's getting a pass because we so dislike the guy who came in after him. But Luke Weaver, if I'm making a list on why the Yankees lost last night, he's atop that list.
I mean, he gets lost in the mix because of where he sits. And we're not going to look at this, I don't know, months from now, and say, oh yeah, Luke Weaver lost that game. You're going to look at it if you literally just look at the...
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Box score, and you're going to say, oh, Devin Williams lost a game. Oh, I remember that Devin Williams. He walked in the go-ahead run. And so, like, unfortunately... or I guess fortunately for Luke Weaver, he's going to get lost in the conversation that's happening. But you're right, Evan. Luke Weaver was supposed to, or last year he was, this marvel for the Yankees down the stretch. He was a found star. Now, he wasn't necessarily going to continue to be a star, but he was a found star that carried them to a place that I don't think a lot of people thought the Yankees were going last year. And now we expect the same thing to happen. But maybe he's coming back to his mean a little bit.
Well, that's a big problem. They need Luke Weaver to be really good. Because when I look at the state of the Yankee bullpen, I think there are two guys atop the tree of trust, as I've now created. It used to be the circle of trust. There's a tree of trust. And atop it is Luke Weaver and to a degree David Bednar. Now, I'm not saying these guys have been perfect. They certainly haven't been. But the other guys are so far from perfect, specifically Camilo Duvall, another guy who gets a pass. Like, let's call it like it is. He's been a disaster.
Right. He's not been good.
He has not been good. To the point where instead of going to Camilo Duvall, Aaron Boone made the decision in a tie game after Luke Weaver gave up the lead to go to Devin Williams. And here's number three. Let's get to Devin Williams. He cannot come in to a tie game on the road in the seventh inning against the Astros, or the eighth inning, I should say, against the Astros. Can't happen. Shouldn't be allowed. Devin Williams has proven that this moment is too big for him, that this situation is too big for him. Now, here's the good news about Devin Williams, and I was doing like really ample research this morning about this because I wanted to back up my point. Sometimes we have emotions and we just say it. I wanted to back up my emotions with facts, and that is when they use him in low leverage spots, when they use him where the pressure is not on, he's not bad.
Right, that's your gut, and it actually is true.
It is true. So he's not Ryan Helsley who stinks against everybody. It's the moment. It's the situation. And if I'm Aaron Boone, and I know Mark Leiter Jr. isn't perfect, and I know Camilo Duvall, we just talked about, has been a disappointment. I get all that. But you know what I know about those guys? I don't think they're necessarily going to melt because of the moment. Mm. Devin Williams does. And then you see Devin Williams getting absolutely squeezed by Brando. And it's like, you know he's going to implode. I know he's going to implode. You know he's going to implode. So to quote Bill Maher, new rules. New rules. Remember that segment? I think he still does it. New rules.
No.
Never watched Maher?
No.
No, me neither.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I know who he is, obviously, but I'm unfamiliar with his shtick.
Well, I'll tell you this about Bill Maher. One of the rare guys left who just calls it like it is. Like, he's liberal, but he'll rip liberals, he'll rip conservatives. Like, he actually calls it like it is. And I respect that, even if I disagree with him on like 87% of the stuff he says. So he's got a segment called New Rules. New rules. Devin Williams can't pitch in a tie game on the road in the eighth inning. Mm. New rule. Mm. Can't happen. Am I right about
that? No,
this?
Of course you're right about that. It's high leverage. Forget the clarification of on the road and the tie game, whatever it is. If it feels like it's high leverage, Devin Williams shouldn't be in the game, period. That's what it should come down to. And it's unfortunate because that's what he was brought here to do. And for most of his career, he did it very well. And you joked about this at the beginning of the season. Maybe he was shattered by Pete Alonso in last year's playoffs. And he just never has found it. Maybe he's influenced by the pressure of being a New York Yankee, which is real, by the way, right? Especially because of the expectation that is on the Yankees every single year. Every single year. It's unacceptable to be average for a New York Yankee.
No, and
he's... And you know that. You hear it. You feel it from the fan base. You probably hear it internally as well. It is unacceptable to be average. And Devin Williams is very average.
He melts in the moment.
Oh, he's worse than average. Of any reliever with 50 or more innings pitched, he has the single worst ERA in baseball, which is hard to do. Which is interesting, Evan, because it might be time for you to wear an L on this one.
What am I wearing an L about?
I mean, you might as well have bought a Devin Williams jersey before the season started, Evan. I have audio proof. I've come with audio proof. Are you ready to hear it?
Are you trying to tell me this is L-worthy, whatever you're about to play?
Very much L-worthy.
Well, the rules of the L is Tiki Barber,
yes.
Sean, and Tommy, I have to all agree.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you all agree that what I said was L-worthy, I have to wear it out.
I'm just not familiar with this.
Okay, and just remember that stat I just gave you. The worst ERA of any reliever with 50 or more innings pitched now after last night. Let's hear it.
Devin Williams is one of the most brilliant relievers in baseball. Those are just the facts. And I tend to believe that that's who he is. And I tend to believe that if you give a guy like that enough opportunities in a big spot,
yeah,
he's going to show you who he is.
Jeez. Has he shown us, Evan?
I may have to walk over and just grab the L before you even announce anything.
Has he shown us on September 4th who he is?
Wow. He has shown us who he is.
Yeah. And it's exactly that. It's cringeworthy. It's yell-worthy. It's L-worthy. I wish we could give one to him.
Well, he takes one every time he takes the mouse.
It's true.
No, that is definitely L-worthy. I've been wrong about Devin Williams, and so is Brian Cashman. And what Aaron Boone needs to do, and this is the most important thing when you take an L, because L's happen. Like, watch how easy this is. Hey, audience, I was wrong about that. That sounds like December Evan. And December Evan was wrong about Devin Williams.
See, by the way, I didn't come with audio. It wasn't just December Evan. It was coming out of the All-Star break. Also, you had more. I couldn't have time to dig that up. Where you said, what did I tell you about Devin Williams? He's back.
I do remember that one. All right, so July Evan was wrong, too. Tiki's already given me the L. It's around my neck. I'm wearing it. Now it's time for the Yankees to wear it. Because it's one thing for me to say, hey, I'm wrong. I apologize. I'm not telling you you should DFA him. I don't think you have to do that. But you can't use him in situations like that.
Because he's valuable. There are going to be games where starting pitch, Yankees are up eight, whatever the number is, and the starting pitcher is out for whatever reason. You need Devin Williams. And he can pitch in those situations. He can give you innings.
I'll even be more liberal than that. Like, if I have a three-run lead, and I know I've got Bednar and I got Weaver available in the bullpen, I'll even let him start an inning, see what I can get, and then make the hook before things get bad. But in a tie game where there's no margin for error, he can't pitch in that game.
Yeah, can't happen.
Can't happen. Now, here's my fourth gripe, and Sean's going to love me for this. Enough of Opie.
Thank you.
I mean, seriously. Booney, you gave him the two off days. I respected it. You put him back in the lineup. I respected it. He hit in Chicago for a few minutes. I respected it. His at-bats are awful. He's not good.
He's lost. And this is not just he sucks. This is he's lost mentally. And he doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, and you know what? I'll look at it this way on September 4th. He's no longer the best option to be the everyday shortstop.
Right.
Jose Caballero is. He brings another aspect to this team with his speed, his great versatility, and he's producing more. I mean, just do it, Boone. Because what you pulled a few years ago when you waited till the middle of the playoffs to finally listen to the people when you sat IKF or Oswald Peraza, don't wait till October. Just do it. You've given this kid every opportunity. You tried to sit him. You tried to get him going. You tried to get him started. And look, Sean, I told you this last week. I'm an honest guy. Card subject to change. Well, the card has changed. He's 0 for his last whatever since Chicago. His at-bats stink. You're worried about him every time defensively. Enough.
That's exactly it. And this is where Aaron Boone, and I get that he's defending his player, is so disingenuous when he defends him. When he points to the offensive struggles, he'll go back and say, but you know what? You know, his glove, this is why we do defense. Whatever the game is, pick the Anthony Volpe bingo. He's either going to go 0 for 3, 3 strikeouts in big spots, or he's getting down to one knee, booting a ball. You cannot trust him. These games are too important. Enough is enough.
Well said. How long do I have to wear the L for Devin Williams?
How about until we start talking football today?
Until we start talking. Oh, great. When we come back, we will get to the football coming up. Cowboys, Eagles. To me, it's very easy who Giant fans should root for. We'll make our NFL predictions coming up right at 4 o'clock. But we'll come back with your phone calls. Devin Williams. The weird conspiracy some of you people are holding on to that Brian Walsh purposely sabotaged the New York Yankees on a Wednesday night. I want to hear from you psychos, because it doesn't make any sense to me that you honestly believe that. We'll get to your calls at 888-808-1019, and the Mets making a major change in their rotation. The other issue around last night's Yankees game that, I'll tell you, if it hit me, and it especially hit me during a Mets game, I would have lost my mind. And that was the fact that some people, including Sean, could not watch the game because there were issues on Amazon Prime.
That wasn't the case in Jersey, because that was fine. Was it just where you were, or was it?
I know locally there were some people that I knew near me that were getting it, some people that weren't. And I know BT, though, was in Jersey. He had problems. It went on for 2.5 hours. I kept getting a circle. Then I was told switch TVs. I have 5 TVs hooked up to Amazon. I went to different rooms. I'm unplugging this. I even got on the phone with Amazon support. Wow. And they were giving me some of this nonsense. And then they were like, well, is it just our product? I want to watch We Were Liars. I could get that. I want to rent the movie, pay them $5.99. I could get that. Can I just get a baseball game on TV in my local market? Is that so much to ask?
Aren't they usually also on a local channel?
No, only for football.
Yes.
That's only football.
Yeah, when the Yankees do Amazon Prime, which they basically do once a week, we're just so used to it, which is why I'm surprised that there are any issues, because this is a common thing. It's literally just Amazon Prime.
And I don't know what to make of the issue. If not everybody was having the issue and some weren't, and BT said he would lose it for 5 innings and come back with the sound. I never got a P. I gave up at 10:30. For a game like that, I can't tell you how many countless Yankee Royal games I sat there and watched on Amazon Prime. Not a damn problem. That cannot happen, and it brings me back to this overarching issue. We still have not perfected streaming in sports, and yet all of these leagues shove it down our throats.
Right.
And
they shove it down your throats because it's helping finance the business.
But I got this one last night. A couple people said, Well, you know, you get 95% of the games on Amazon, no problem. So what? They missed one. No, that's the problem. It should be 100% hit rate with no issue.
But it was also because of who they were playing.
You think that's what it was?
No. Oh, it's in my anger. You.
Yes.
No. His anger is built by the calendar, right. Of course.
I'm dying. There's no football last night. The Mets played during the day. That was the sole focus last night, right. And I slammed my remote 15 times. That's ridiculous.
Now, I feel you on that. That's why I say, because I didn't have the issue now. I was also consuming the game very differently. I was behind, and I was watching it through the MLB app, because I may have a special account. So I don't know if I would have had those issues. I just want to be fully transparent. But if that was happening with my team, like if that happens to Mets Reds on a Friday night, oh my, I may go out in the streets screaming.
Are they on?
No. Stream?
Oh, okay.
No, but
you're saying as an example.
And the reason
I was going to say, I hope it does happen to you, Mets Reds.
I know. Lose my mind. But I do want to be fair about this, Sean. I brought up a Mets Reds game that's on SNY or Pix or whatever it's on. This kind of stuff does happen with cable TV as well.
What happened? Yeah, of course.
So like, don't act like it's only a streaming thing.
Okay, anytime I've seen it happen on TV and I've seen like a feed lose and then you get the audio piped in eventually. My point was, Evan, I literally couldn't watch a single pitch of the game the whole night.
No, I get you.
Not a single pitch.
And usually when it happens on cable television, it's something with the cable company.
Right, and they reroute and they figure it out. Three innings later, you get maybe the other feed or something
but
like
this
that.
This did happen with the Tyson fight, right?
Oh, right. Netflix kept lagging.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And so you'd stop for 10 minutes.
But you know what? That was a Netflix at least test bubble into their live sports. So I understood that.
Of course.
Amazon, you've been doing Yankee games for a couple of years now. That's unacceptable.
No, I agree, it's
your help desk is unplug your TV? That's your solution? Smack the TV in the back and hope it works?
Nah, it's terrible timing because of what you said.
They actually said unplug your TV.
On the phone. Have you tried unplugging and plugging in your TV?
Well, did you?
That doesn't work.
No. That's not fair. It does work sometimes, man.
That is not the issue.
I can't tell you how many times I've had some kind of technical issue, and unplugging it and plugging it back in does work.
But why would you say unplug and plug it in when I told you it's not working on five different TVs and all your other programming? Here's the thing, too. I pay enough, right? All of these things. That's the other part. I pay for your service. I'm going out of my way. Then I go to Yes Network. I got a soccer game on last night. I mean, it's just...
So how did you end up consuming the Yankee game? I mean, you're a diehard fan. I had to watch it.
Ripping through the MLB app at a fast pace. That's how I watched the Yankees today with all that unfolded. That's not how I want to consume the Yankee game today. That's how I want to rewatch a Titan game on a Monday morning because I watched a million football games.
Nah, I feel for you.
Especially
that
how that game went.
Yes! And I already knew because I was going to be like, Evan, it was impossible. I'm on Twitter. Like, I knew what happened.
Yeah.
So I was detached from the emotion. And now my anger at Devin Williams and everything is also the anger through I couldn't freaking see it.
No, I feel you, man. That would piss me off to no end. So I guess a few people had that issue. My apologies. What Amazon should do is give you some kind of rebate.
Yeah,
I think that's always
should.
The easy answer.
They should. My wife spends enough money there. Please.
Absolutely. And that's what the woman
should... Your next three deliveries are free.
I mean, yeah, the guy basically lives at my house and delivers.
That's what the woman should have said last night. At the help desk, because obviously it's not her fault. She doesn't know how to fix the issues. I think the first thing you say is, we're so sorry you had this problem. I'm going to try to help you, but before I do, just know you're getting a rebate for a month because of your troubles. That's the first thing that you have to do.
I got to lean on my wife for that. She's the one that returns the mashed potatoes.
I get you. Now let's get to your phone calls, 888-808-1019. Neil is in the Bronx. Good afternoon, Neil.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I believe everything you guys said about the bullpen imploding, as always. But also, Aaron Boone pulling Warren after 67 pitches. I mean, come on. How are these kids supposed to build their confidence if you're not giving them a chance to prove themselves? He stole Will Warren's Yankee moment. He should have just went to the mound and said, look, Warren, you got only 67 pitches. We need 7 innings from you. We need it. If Warren would have heard that coming out of Boone's mouth, guarantee he would have mustered it down and gave him 7 innings.
Well, I'll tell you something else where I actually agree with you. I think that's very, very fair. Let's think about where we are in the game. So, Sean, pay attention because I know you weren't able to see it.
Okay.
It's 4-1 Yankees. He gives up the home run to Jeremy Pena. It's the bottom of the sixth inning. It's 4-2. Yep. You still have a cushion to let him face Yordan Alvarez. Mm-hmm. Let's see how he does. Let him face Jose Altuve. Let's see how he does.
Terrified, though.
He was terrified of allowing Warren to do it.
Yes. But Boone was terrified, not Warren.
No, but the problem with Boone doing that and having the quick hook is you got to think about, how am I getting the next 12 outs? Where am I going? Now, the Yankees have a fresh bullpen. That's the positive. The negative is, how many guys do you truly trust? And so now you got to play the backwards game of, if I'm pulling my starter because he gave up a solo leadoff home run to a hell of a player in Jeremy Pena, where am I finding these next 12 outs? And what I would have done if I'm Boone, and there are times Mendy should do this too, is let me steal it out here. Let me see if I can get you. If Jordan gets on base, okay, cool. Tying runs at the plate, you're done.
Right.
Instead, he goes to Fernando Cruz, who didn't implode, but he gave a run back, and all of a sudden it's 4-3. So I agree with our last caller. I think in the situation and the way Warren was throwing the baseball, I would have gone batter by batter and said, all right, let me see if I can steal a few outs here in the sixth.
Right. It's unfortunate because Will Warren isn't experienced enough to be able to demand to stay in.
No, right? That's not on him. It's on Booney.
Exactly.
You're right. He can't do that.
He can't do it yet. I mean, so, look, we're late enough in the season where you kind of are what you are. I mean, maybe you can, you know, make, as Sean was alluding to, get yourself, or actually the caller was alluding to, get yourself geared so you are pitching into the sixth and seventh innings. But at this point, especially for a young pitcher, like, well, he is what he is. Aaron Boone's going to dictate that. And it's unfortunate because when it doesn't work, we want to blame Will Warren, but we obviously have to blame Aaron Boone.
Absolutely.
He has no say in it.
Will threw a hell of a game. And I don't know if I ever sent Tommy the audio, but yesterday on the program, out of nowhere, I have it on my phone, Sean had a very negative opinion about Will Warren and said that he's going to get bombed. In fact, would you like to hear that? I have the audio right
now.
Sure,
go ahead.
Here we go. Well, I mean, you played audio of me being an idiot. Why not you? Here we go.
I think Will Warren will actually shockingly pitch well.
This is me.
In the sixth inning, he'll allow a couple of runs, and it'll be up to the Yankee offense to win this game.
How about that? Wow. I nailed
it. You nailed that. Couple of runs up to the Yankees offense.
Will Warren gets his tookus kicked out because of his struggles on the road. I get that sense. Everybody's on the high horse. Six runs last night. I got a feeling this is like a 7-2 Yankee.
Oh, so you expected them to lose anyways.
I did.
Right, so
did.
It's the rubber game. That's all that matters.
You know what?
Tonight matters.
Why don't I get more audio of Evan saying they're the best team in the American League yesterday and then losing that way?
I stand by that completely. By the way, that audio from yesterday, I think should warrant me taking the L off. Yeah. I nailed Will Warren's line.
Stop. You're not weaseling out of this.
Five innings. Did I not nail his line? I just said it. You heard the audio.
That's not taking the L off. You thought Devin Williams was going to be a heroic closer for the Yankees.
I honestly did. I had no reason not to. And I think the lesson of this trade deadline, and obviously in Devin's case was the offseason, is that even reliable relievers like Devin Williams and Ryan Helsley and Camilo Duvall and Tyler Rogers, they could be reliable. You still don't know when you bring them here. Because all of them, to much varying degrees, have not been as good as we expected.
Right.
Helsley stinks. Devin Williams can't handle the moment. Duvall is a walking issue. And Rogers hasn't been bad. I feel kind of bad clumping him in, but he's been a disappointment, to say the least.
Yeah, but my perspective on this is a little bit different because obviously being an athlete here, it was years ago, but the pressure was, it's still the same. It took me a while to figure it out. It just does.
Yeah, but rentals don't have time.
Exactly. So just from a different perspective, you can't malign the future career of Ryan Helsley or Devin Williams. You can't do it yet. Or Tyler Rogers, any of these guys. Because this is such a short little moment in their career. And if they were given another year or so, they probably would figure out how to pitch in New York.
I think that's a very fair point.
Here's the challenge for general managers as they think about trade deadline. Is this guy a good pitcher? Yes. Can he pitch in New York? You have no way of knowing that.
No
answer.
Clue.
You have no chance of figuring that out. And so you have to just hope you get lucky and pick the right guy that can pitch in New York.
And keep this in mind. There's of all those names I mentioned, Camilo Duvall's a little bit different because he's signed next year.
Yes.
So Duvall may get a chance to prove you right, which is, hey, you know what? It didn't work.
Yeah.
But give it time. Ryan Hell, there is no chance in hell Ryan Helsley's a Met in 2026. There's no chance in hell Devin Williams is a Yankee in 2026.
Right.
So whatever they need to figure out, it better happen soon because they're not getting another chance. Paul is up in Buffalo. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Evan. Before I get to my point, Teek, I've never had the pleasure of calling into your show. I think you're the last host on the station I haven't talked to.
Oh, excellent.
You are one hell of a running back, even though I'm not a Giants fan. I still remember, 20 years ago now when Mr. Mara passed and you took off 200 yards on the Redskins.
Yep.
Man, that was a special day to watch.
Yeah,
even
most memorable game of my career.
NFL fan.
Yeah, most memorable game of my career. It's really the only one that I remember start to finish. Everything else I kind of forget, but that one was special.
Man, you were on Angels' wings that day.
No doubt.
It was something special, even for fans to watch. And thank you for your career because you worked harder than anyone out there, as hard as anyone. There's plenty of guys that work as hard as they can, and you were certainly one of them.
Thank you.
I just appreciate it as a fan. Evan, the last time I called you was a while ago. I called you Judas Iscariot for abandoning the National League style of baseball. Now I see the law firm of Judas Iscariot is representing awful umpires with anti-Yankee prejudice.
What
world do you live in 2025 where people do not make stupid decisions? I see people make stupid decisions all the time. This umpire let his lifetime of anti-Yankee prejudice just screw the Yanks. Now, forget what he did to Devin Williams. He took the game away from Jazz Chisholm because he desperately did not want to see Giancarlo Cruz, Mike Stanton get a baseball bat and send one to South America. And you know it. And you're Met fan Evan coming out and subtly digging at the Yankee fan.
Paul, that's a great point because we're talking about the Devin Williams called ball. The Jazz Chisholm called strike was at least 5 inches off the plate, at least.
Brian Walsh last night embarrassed himself, and he embarrassed the profession because he was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're all going to agree, right? Simpatico. He was bad. I even said at the top of the show, it did cost the Yankees the game.
Mm-hmm.
It changed the game in a major, major way. Brian Walsh is bad at his job. Okay? We're all good. We're all in a good place. I would never take that step when talking about the Mets or any team I love to outwardly say, oh, I saw a picture of him on the Facebook, and he's wearing a Red Sox shirt as a teenager or a 20-year-old. He must have done this on purpose. That's insanity. I'm sorry. That's insanity. So we can agree about Brian Walsh and his impact on the game, because I'm with you. And I'm not one to blame umpires. Mm. He was bad last night and may have cost the Yankees a baseball game.
Yeah.
But to actually think, based on a few pictures someone sent you,
right.
Must be a real come on,
right.
Guy.
Look, the reality is he cost the Yankees the baseball game. There's no disputing that. The question is, did he do it on purpose? And if that's what we're debating, how are you going to find that out? You're not going to know. Is he going to tell somebody and somebody's going to leak it to Pablo Torre? Like, how the heck are we ever going to know that he did this on purpose?
Unless there's a text message that says, right. I did it on purpose.
Which I don't think he did. I think he just is bad.
Sometimes
you're just bad.
He's an inexperienced umpire who's not good.
Yes.
And I agree. Should he umpire a playoff game? Absolutely not. What I would do with umpires if I ran Major League Baseball, if Rob would actually talk to me, there's a bunch of things I would do. Obviously, I'd have a rating system, which they have. I would make sure that the lower-rated umpires, and I can't imagine how Brian Walsh is not lower-rated, would be avoiding a Yankee Astro.
Hmm.
Send him to a game, not to minimize Nationals Marlins, but send him to the Nationals Marlins series.
Yeah, but they got to be allocated by some formula. I don't think it's on an individual, well, this is an important game. This is going to be highly watched. This is a whatever type. Except for in the postseason.
Postseason's different, and they do that.
But regular season, I doubt that they do that.
Okay, and I'm saying they should. You're right, they probably don't do it. I'm saying especially when you get to early September, your best needs to be calling these games.
Right.
Because, again, what we're all going to agree, or most of us would agree, is Brian Walsh negatively impacted the Yankees' chances of winning the game yesterday. He was an abomination. It was actually one of the worst showings you'll see this side of Angel Hernandez. To take the next step, because you saw a few pictures on Facebook, to me is lunacy. It's lunacy. And our last caller sounds like such an intelligent guy. He used big words. It was like, oh, you're Judas or this or that. And then he comes out and says all this psychobabble, conspiracy theory stuff. Come on now. Let's go to John and Maspeth. Even John agrees with me. Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yes,
first off, I did make that donation yesterday. I sent you guys a receipt on Twitter. So I was a man of my word.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
All right. Secondly, Sean, next time that happens, just go play it on your phone, on the Prime app on your phone, and try to sync it to your TV.
The problem with that is everything's under my wife's account, and I'm fumbling around. That's the one app I don't have my phone. Come on.
Okay.
Then I got streamcast it. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but at least you get it done.
It's a good suggestion. It is a good suggestion. Sean, can I just get the game on my TV? That's all I'm. I just want it simple.
Yeah. All right, so to his umpire, right? First off, what is Devin Williams doing in that game? You know, when the game was like 4-1 or whatever, that's when you bring him in. He's a 5th, 6th inning guy now, not an 8th and 9th inning tie game situation.
Yep.
So right there, it's on Aaron Boone. But I can't blame Devin Williams because he did get screwed. But part of me thinks this is some kind of plot for baseball to promote the ABS system.
Talk about conspiracy theories.
Listen, I was talking to my cousin.
Yeah.
I was talking to my cousin who's a big Mets fan, and he even said that Juan Soto, who I would admit has probably one of the best eyes in baseball, has gotten screwed several times this year on cold balls and strikes.
Yeah.
So I think baseball might be trying to make these incidents high profile.
You know what's funny, John? Mm. I'm not a big conspiracy guy. That one is like, okay.
It kind of makes sense. It does.
I don't think that's what's going on. You know what's going on? We are spoiled. And the reason we're spoiled is all of these networks, whether it's Yes, SNY, ESPN, they give us a strike zone box.
Right. There is technology that lets us, as the consumer, know what's right and wrong.
1,000%. So right now, coincidentally, Tiki and I have a Yankee-Cleveland Indian game on from the 1980s.
Yes.
It's on Yes Network. It just happens to be on. It's a
Yankee classic.
Randy Velarde is up at the plate. And when you watch a game from 40 years ago, one thing that will certainly jump out at you is, while there's no score and there's no count, there's no strike zone box. And I'm telling you, man, that has created mental games with all of us because we see it right in front of our nose. Now, could you still see a pitch that's a bad call without a box? Of course. But it makes it more obvious.
Yeah.
And because it's more obvious, it makes these umpires look even worse than they were.
God, you know what, Evan? I wasn't even paying attention to that. It looks so naked.
It looks naked, right?
The screen looks naked.
I agree.
It's just the players.
It's literally just the game because it's the mid-'80s, late 80s. I don't know the specificity of the game and date. Oh, right, this is 1993.
This is the Jim Abbott no-hitter.
Oh, how about that? I didn't even know that. All right, so September of 93, and there's nothing on the screen, which is frustrating as a viewer because you don't know the count, the inning, all that, but there's no strike zone.
Mm.
And I'm telling you, it has changed the way we watch these games. We are more critical at umpires because we don't have it right in front of our face to show us. Or we do have it right in front of our face to show us.
Right.
So I think that's what's going on here. It doesn't mean Brian Walsh is okay. He still sucks at his job. But that's what makes it look worse. John is calling from Red Bank. Hey, John.
How you doing, guys?
What's up?
The question is this. As far as Hensley, is Stearns ordering Mendoza to bring him in, or is Mendoza just that clueless? That guy's terrible. He can't get anybody out.
I'm going to say Mendy's that clueless. I don't think that David Stearns is ordering him to pitch him in a one-run game in the seventh inning. No.
Yeah, I've never seen the guy get anybody out yet.
No, he's been awful. And I think that Ryan Helsley, much like Devin Williams, except they are a little different, cannot be used in a one-run game. Like, the biggest issue with Ryan Helsley right now is that he's terrible, and if you're going to employ him, because the Mets have every right to say, we can't fix this, and we don't have time,
right,
so we're going to DFA you just to cut our losses. You can't use him in a one-run game. You want to use him in an eight-run game to try to get him right? Fine. You can't use him in a one-run game.
Ryan Helsley sucks!
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Is he worse than Devin Williams, or is Devin Williams worse than Ryan Helsley?
He's worse. He's worse.
Devin Williams will give you some good innings at times.
At least you stumble on the occasional good Devin Williams thing.
Devin Williams has had a longer New York career than Ryan Helsley. Helsley just got here a couple weeks ago. Williams has had an entire season. So, of course, he's had more chances. But those chances, valid point. Honestly, let's be real. We could go through all the Yankees' issues. The biggest reason they aren't the best team in the American League, like Evan says they are, is because of Devin Williams. He's cost them, what, 10 games this year? Maybe
15? Think Devin Williams is worse than Ryan Helsley?
1,000%.
Oh, I know what we have to do, Teague.
Yeah.
I think it's time for an impromptu.
We haven't had one in a while.
Lugash debate series.
Okay. Who do we want to win more, Eagles or Cowboys? Is that what we're doing?
Who sucks more, Devin Williams or Ryan Helsley? I thought it was open and shut. But Tommy brings up some valid points. So, by the way, I have to correct you, Tiki. While you were gone, we actually did have a Lugash debate series. So the score is now tied 8-8. Okay? It is 8-8. Tiki's bringing out the scoreboard we have that's being held by Boomer Esiason and Phil Sims. And so it is now 8-8 in the Lugash debate series. And the possession arrow is now in favor of Sean Morash. What do you mean I'm wrong? Don't tell me I'm wrong. Oh, you're right. Tommy didn't win. I take that back. It's 9-7, Sean.
Nice.
I forgot. It got overturned. So
Whoa. It got overturned. I thought I won.
No, you lost. We ended up going to a tiebreaker phone call who voted for Sean, and you lost.
Okay, that's fair. I do remember it being a tie. I thought I won the tiebreaker.
You want to know what the debate was about, Tiki?
Tell me.
It was Tommy DeVito's performance against the Packers one of the five greatest moments in the history of the New York Giants?
History?
Yeah. It became a Lugash debate series.
History!
One of our proudest moments.
It's easily the most memorable regular season win they've ever had in their franchise's history. No offense, Teek. I know the game in Washington. But that, to me, yeah, think about it. At the time, Tommy DeVito mania, we forget how we felt at that moment.
You know what argument he used, Teek, that almost swayed me, even though it's a lunacy statement?
Go ahead.
When I brought you up and said you're being very disrespectful to Tiki, Tommy's like, Tiki doesn't remember most of his games anyway.
95% of career, he's forgot already.
No, you're right. Except for the Washington.
Correct.
Then Redskins game.
That's right. So, officially, the Lugash debate series sits at 9-7 Morash. Sean has the possession arrow. The rules.
It's the Lugash debate series where the minds engage with every point.
The rules of the Lugash debate series is that Sean will get a minute to state his case that Devin Williams sucks less than Ryan Helsley. Lugie can respond and they can yell at each other and we will vote on the results. So, your 1 minute on the clock on why you believe Ryan Helsley sucks more than Devin Williams begins now.
Well, first of all, let's talk about Devin Williams, Tommy. At least when the Yankees traded for him, as pumped up as we were, we knew we had Luke Weaver and we weren't counting on him to be a big savior. We were interested in what he had. Ultimately, Devin Williams has appeared in 58 games this year, and he's given up 33 earned runs. Not good, but it at least tells us, at a minimum, there's been 25 games that Devin Williams has pitched in without allowing a single freaking run. That's a minimum. That's math. Ryan Helsley's appeared in 14 games, already given up 14 earned runs. He gives up a run a game easily on an average. And probably the worst thing at all, at least Devin Williams, when he sucks, can hide out a little bit. We don't have the theatrics, the lights going off. The Yankees faded that away. You're still ringing hell's bells every time the guy comes in. You talk about pissing off a fan base. Nobody pisses off their fan base in town more than Ryan Helsley. He's not a savior, and you need him more as an eighth inning guy, because what's your answer? Ryan Stan stinks? It's done.
All right, your clock is done, Tommy. The floor.
That was solid.
That was very good stuff. You stats. He was fired up. Tommy, your rebuttal begins now.
Talking about pissing off a fan base, the sight of Devin Williams will send Yankee fans into a tizzy. He has had a longer runway here to fail, and he has failed every single time. We all know Pete Alonso broke him, whether it's tipping his pitches or whatever the case may be. He can't handle New York. He can't handle the big moment. He has dirt on Brian Cashman. They keep putting him out there. And best of all, this is the absolute best of all, the Yankees broke tradition for Devin Williams. They got rid of the beard policy for this guy, and he's absolutely sucked. And he will go down as one of the worst acquisitions in the history of the Yankees. Helsley, for all we know, can wake up tomorrow and become a great closer again. Devin Williams, as we know it, is finished. He has had no Yankee career. He will never have a Yankee career. He should have been DFA'd months ago. And now you have to live with this beard policy, and you broke tradition. They'll probably put names on the back of the jersey next year.
Right.
Thank you.
Tommy, you got a minute to fight.
Okay,
this is easy. Tommy just walked into why Devin Williams is the better player than Ryan Helsley pitcher. Because at least when this terrible dumpster fire Devin Williams season ends, he will have a positive footprint on Yankee baseball.
How's it positive? How's it been positive?
We got rid of the old, stupid, antiquated beard policy.
Well, what has it done? You're the same stupid team that is clueless and has a country club. So it did nothing but piss off 50-year-old Yankee fans.
What's the positive influence Ryan Helsley had? That he still sucks versus the Atlanta Braves?
But Ryan Helsley's a fart in the ring. You're never going to remember him.
We don't need
him. Devin Williams will always be linked to the beard. We don't need Helsley. The point is that the beard policy was gotten rid of. We all know it's because of Juan Soto. But we're going to say it was because of Devin Williams. You will now forever be remembered as the guy that got rid of the beard policy, and you sucked on top of it.
So your big defense is the beard policy. Good debate, Tommy.
Beard policy.
I'm good here, Ev. I'm good here.
Okay, so let's go here. Give me 20 more seconds.
Yeah, he's resting his case. You can continue.
And by the way, I was kind of on Sean's side with this. If John Mara lost his mind one day or lost a lot of sleep because of Saquon Barkley.
Mr. Mara.
Okay, I know a lot of the Maras are listening. I apologize. Mr. Mara, if he actually unretired Lawrence Taylor's number and gave it to Abdul Carter and he sucked, what would Sean Marash and the Marashes bring up every time? And they unretired LT's number for this guy. Devin Williams, every time he's brought up from now till the end of time, will be linked to the beard policy. Whether you like it or not, and you like it, whatever, he will be linked to it. Helsley will go by as a footnote. Billy Taylor. I thought that was the guy from Little Big League. Everybody keeps bringing this guy up. Billy Taylor. Nobody remembers Billy Taylor except for him and Sal and three other people.
Sal and I were having a discussion about Billy Taylor during the show.
Yes, they were.
Tiki was like, wow, that guy existed.
I was like, didn't he play football?
Well, good job, fellas. Tiki, your thoughts on that debate?
That was an easy one for me. Lukey won that one, hands down.
He won that one?
Yeah, because of the beard policy won. But also, let's not forget, Ryan Helsley was brought in to be, I don't know, insurance maybe, if Edwin Diaz decides to opt out, a seventh inning guy, eighth inning guy. I don't know what he's going to be, but he's a rental. He's done.
Mm.
Done. Devin Williams was brought here to be the closer of the future.
Mm.
He is not. Not even a thought right now.
Yeah.
Tommy won to me.
Wow. It's a very good point that Tommy makes. Two things. Number one, whether you like or hate the beard policy, because I think most younger fans, most people listening are like, right. It's great. You know, it's fantastic they got rid of it.
People look dope in beards nowadays.
Yeah.
My twin won't cut his off.
Yeah, it's because he wants to look different than you.
Yeah, he does not want to look like me.
If I bring up Devin Williams' name in 20 years... there's a really good chance every Yankee fan's going to be like, oh, Devin Williams.
Yeah.
If I bring up Ryan Helsley's name in 20 years, I think it's going to be similar to Billy Taylor.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be the diehards remember.
When did he play?
Yeah.
What year was that?
Yeah.
What happened with him?
Yeah.
Oh, he was just bad.
Yeah, I think he's like a guy we make fun of, and you heard that great clip of Frank the Tank describing Helsley very accurately, but I think there's a really good chance because he was a rental... and it was quick. Like, he came in, he's been terrible, and it's like, it's over for
Ryan
him.
Helsley sucks.
Like, Ryan Helsley's just going to go away with the win. I do think he brings up a good point that Devin Williams, even though clearly pound for pound he hasn't been as bad as Helsley, is probably going to live in the Yankee stench for a longer period of time.
Yeah. Was that the debate, though?
I don't know, but he made me think about it once he said it.
Doesn't it make his stinking even more stinkier?
Well, the debate was who was worse.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so worse is, it's fungible.
It is, because it could be based on expectations. Yes. You say Lugie won the debate. In fairness, I think Sean won the debate.
Mm.
So I think you made a great effort, Tommy. I obviously disagree with you fundamentally, but you did a really good job. So now we got to break the tie with a caller. All right, you guys are going to accept whoever we go to.
Absolutely.
They don't have any agenda.
Here's the way I look at it. I'm like the Blue Jays. I have a lead I'm not going to give up, so that's fine.
All right. It's not like you have a huge lead. You have a two-game lead.
Neither do they, dude.
And we don't have a tiebreaker here like the Blue Jays have, unless we want to come up with one. If there is a tie.
Well, the tiebreaker overall.
Meaning if me and Sean ultimately get, you know, tie these things up.
I don't think that there can be. I don't think there's an end.
Yeah, I think the end is when we're, like, not all working together, which these days could be next week.
Better come up with a tiebreaker, then.
We may have to come up with a tiebreaker. All right. Chris in Bayshore, who won the Lou Gehrig debate series?
Well, I really, you know, I feel honest to be honest with you guys. There is no question in my mind that Lugie took it, hands down.
Wow. Nice.
Generational talent.
Why do you think so, Chris? Please tell us.
Well, I think the beer thing, and I think his just he made more impactful points in my opinion.
Chris, you're from my town.
I understand that, Sean, and you know, again, it's a lot of love. I got to say, with a lot of love, but I got to be honest.
Okay. You know what I'm learning, and thank you, Chris, for the call. I think when you have the uphill battle of trying to win a debate that on the surface is so wrong, with all due respect, Tommy, I mean, we all know Ryan Helsley is a walking abomination of a pitcher and has been far worse. You almost have less to prove, so winning the debate almost becomes easier because your point on the surface is so absurd that if you can just get a little bit in there, it's like he won.
I think Lugie touched a nerve, and it just it sticks with you. The beard policy thing, it touches a nerve.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, that was a very good point. It reminds me.
And again, winning the debate isn't like who's right or who's wrong. It's just who makes you feel feel right or wrong.
I'll never forget this because I was really getting into politics. And it was Al Gore versus George W. Bush. And I've got my George W. Bush statue in front of me. So understand I respect him before I say what I'm about to say.
Strategery.
George W. Bush set the bar in his debate so low that if he could just complete a few sentences, people were going to be like, wow, Bush won the debate. Okay? Am I wrong? So Al Gore, intellectual, boring as all hell, and Governor Bush at the time, have a debate. All George W. did was complete a few sentences. And at the end of the debate on all the networks, it was like, I think he won. And it's like, did he win? Or did he just complete the low expectations that he set?
Right.
And quite frankly, it worked. The man was elected president twice, whether people like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tommy Lugauer's got a lot of dubs in him. Where it's like, hey, as long as he could put out one compelling point, it's like, I think he won.
It's true.
You like that comment?
It is. You fooled me. You fooled me. Fooled me once, I'm not going to get fooled again.
That felt so backhanded towards
me.
Dude,
I compared you to a president. I have a statue in
front
of me.
I understand that, but you set it up with that basically George W. couldn't get a sentence out, and if he could, you know, like Al Gore was Mr. Charisma. He wasn't exactly Barack Obama. I mean, the guy he was boring.
Well, that's exactly what I just said.
I know, but...
So you're agreeing with me.
I can't help but think that felt backhanded. I know you love him, but it felt snarky.
I compared you to somebody I have a statue of, and you're like, mean. Mm. I mean, it's not mean.
I didn't say it was mean. I just felt backhanded. That's all. Like, Loogie actually got a point across, but I'll take the win.
Sean, you accept your loss with dignity?
Without rules, there's anarchy. So those are the rules. I got to accept it.
It is now 9-8 in favor of Sean Morash. We'll get back to your calls next, 888-808-1019, including the Mets making major changes to their pitching plans. We are going to make our official NFL predictions at 4 o'clock. On the record, who's winning the Super Bowl? Who's winning divisions? We'll get to all of it coming up as we hang out with you for the next 4 hours.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.